Global missionaries, in my view, are among the great heroes of the church. They really fulfill what Jesus called all disciples to do, to forsake all and follow him. Global missionaries leave behind their family and friends and all things familiar to reach cultures that are vastly different from their own. We believe that all people everywhere, God's children by creation, and should have an opportunity to hear the gospel. And we know that we're commissioned to go everywhere and reach everyone with the truth. So I thank God for men and women who take the whole gospel to the whole world. Brother and Sister Richie, you've given your lives to this, and I'm very, very thankful for that. Later this month, at the end of October, we'll have our missions conference, and you'll hear more about that this coming Sunday from Brother John Turner. Brother and Sister Richie are veteran missionaries. They've served in missions for over 43 years. They began in 1975 teaching in a Bible school in London, England. And shortly after coming back to the United States, they realized that global missions was their calling. And in 1977, they were appointed missionaries to the Windward Islands in the Caribbean, or Caribbean, depending on how you say it. They arrived there, began language study in the French language. They began to pioneer works on English-speaking islands. And by the end of their first term, every major island had at least one United Pentecostal church. Then French Guyana was added later. And their efforts have been tremendous in evangelism, starting churches, ministering in Bible schools. I've asked Brother Richie to present a project to us tonight for how we can help them. And before you leave tonight, you'll have an opportunity. The ushers will be at the back doors, or you can give online or give an offering in the next few days to support the projects that Brother Richie will mention. Brother Richie, would you come right now? We're so honored to have you and Sister Richie here. Would you please welcome him to Atlanta West Pentecostal Church? And would you thank both of them for a lifetime of commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Thank you, Pastor John. So everybody say hallelujah. One more time, hallelujah. One more time, hallelujah. Whoa, one more time. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor John. You may be seated, brethren. Amen. Thank you for the privilege of being here. One of my friends, I was translating for him. He was preaching in English, so I was translating to French, and he got kind of carried away, I thought. And he began to preach, and he went to a church. Everybody was discouraged. Even the pastor and his wife were discouraged. So after that Sunday services, he went down to church Monday morning, and he began to pray. And as he prayed, he looked up around the church, and he saw 12 devils. And he looked at them, and he said, hallelujah! And he said, 7 of them fell down. Well, I was translating. I wasn't paying much attention to anything except for what I was trying to say. But the next day, I said to the Lord, you know, sometime when you preach, you can get a little carried away, maybe. But is that possible, God? And you know what God said to me? He said, an anointed hallelujah can bring down the devil of discouragement any day of the week. Hallelujah, hallelujah. More hallelujahs, more victory, amen. More hallelujahs, less discouragement, amen. Amen, amen. God's a good God. Everybody say, God's a good God. God's a good God. Amen. That little boy in the islands, he thought God was a good God, but he didn't know really what good meant until he thought, well, the only part of chicken he ever ate was a chicken foot. And he liked chicken foot. So when he said God was a good God, he says, God is a good God, like chicken foot good. Amen. How many ever eat chicken foot? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Good. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. You use it for soup, or maybe you can fry it in oil, but not much else. Amen. But he thought that was good. Amen. But and it was for him. But one day he got a new revelation of what good really was. Amen. He got to taste back and neck. And when he tasted back and neck, he thought, God is good like back and neck. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, God is better than back and neck. He is better than wing. He is better than thigh. God is a good God. Hallelujah. He is an absolute good God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 He's a perfectly good God. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes, well, I'm just blessed. I'm blessed to have a wife that's been with me. Now we've been married 48 years. Can you imagine that? 48 years. Amen. Amen. Sister Rich is an excellent musician. All right, she's organized choirs in the islands and organized trios and made records and recordings. Amen. CDs. Amen. Traveled through many islands with her choir. And right now, one of her main things she's doing, besides she preaches and teaches all the time. And she also is translating our Bible school textbooks into French for the French Bible schools over throughout the world. Can you say praise the Lord for that? Hallelujah. Amen. Sharon, just stand up and say howdy. Amen. Amen. Béni soit l'Éternel. Amen. That means praise the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Amen. So I'm glad to be with you. Glad to share with you a little bit of our burden that we've had over the years. Amen. And I want to talk to you. I'll talk to you about two needs that we have. Now, your pastor's given me permission to mention. You know, we live in the islands, and those islands are, well, how can I say it? If you're in Chicago, that's far from here, Chicago. But if you fly from Chicago and you go to Miami, you're about halfway. You go the same distance, south and east, out into the sea. And just off the coast of South America, you will come to the area that the missionary department calls Windward Islands. And those islands consist of five English-speaking nations and two French-speaking areas. Amen. And the languages of the islands are three major languages, English, French, and Creole. And Sister Rich and I speak all three of those. Amen. But that's the area that we work in. I'm in all those islands, and Grenada's one of them. How many's heard of Grenada? Can you say praise the Lord? Thank God we got six churches in Grenada. Amen. St. Vincent, amen. Barbados, hallelujah. Building a new building in Barbados, amen. And St. Lucia, hallelujah. Martinique is another one of the islands. That's the island Sister Rich and I live on. Dominica is another island that we work in, have work in. And Guadeloupe is another one. These are the seven major Windward Islands. And plus, there's about 20 other islands that are smaller that we've not mentioned tonight. Amen. And then also in 1989, approximately, the missionary department asked us if we'd also consider reaching into French Guyana, the only French-speaking area on the northern in South America. It's on the northern coast of South America. It's about a two-hour airplane ride from Martinique, where we live, to French Guyana. And this is another island, another area that we work in. Very big, quite big land-wise, not so big population-wise. Amen, but it's very big land-wise. Matter of fact, I'll tell you something. One of our pastors, he lives at the end of the road, and his name is Brother Samuel Perrion. And Brother Samuel had some goats, and a jaguar came and ate them. And he lives on the last road in that country all the way down to the border of Brazil. And I don't know how far down that goes after that. But there's no more roads for almost 500 miles. Amen. So that's far out there, brother. And amen. The gospel reaches far. But I thank God tonight that we have four churches in French Guyana. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. Amen. Two of those, one of those churches speak French, one is English, and two are Spanish. We even got some Spanish works nowadays. So God is moving. Amen. We, last year, in about the same time, month of September actually, came a storm called Irma. It didn't maybe do too much in America, but it hit Dominica quite severely. 90% of all the buildings were damaged and lost their roofs, and all the schools were destroyed. And we have asked the missionary department for permission to raise relief funds because these hurricanes come from time to time. And it's best to be prepared. And we've asked them permission to raise $5,000 for this. The other day, I got a call from our pastor in Dominica. And he said, Brother Richie, on Facebook. He sent me a message on Facebook. And he said, Brother Richie, can you please get me a Bible? I thought, yes, of course we'll get you a Bible. He said, the hurricane destroyed all my Bibles, and I don't even have a Bible. That was our pastor. I'm sure he had parts of Bible. Maybe there was no cover on it or something. But if he's that way, Maybe some of his members have even less. But that's what we're talking about with relief funds. I'm in some extreme difficulty. I'm in might be able to be met if we have a little bit of extra. Consider that. The other thing we have that I would like to present to you is Operation Noah. We have been trying to reach every village in the islands. And in Martinique, we went to every village with a gospel tract called Operation Noah. You know, Noah is the last messenger before the judgment of God. That's the thought of the tract. It's the hope of salvation before the judgment of God. And so we have probably 100,000 tracts at least of Operation Noah. And we went to all the villages in Martinique. And now we're starting Barbados. And we've done a good chunk of Barbados. And we're starting Grenada. And we found a printer in America that prints us 10,000 tracts. Beautiful tracts. Glossy tracts. Card stock. For about $460. Amen. So maybe that would be something that you maybe could consider helping us with. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Everybody praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I would like to turn your attention for a few minutes to the Gospel of Mark chapter 2 and verse number 3. I want to thank you that your pastor asked me to be here. Amen. We would have sat in the hotel room otherwise. We would have had no place to go on a Wednesday night. And I tell you what, I don't like sitting home on Wednesday night. My pastor raised me up to go to every church service. And even if you're sick, you go to church. I said, here he taught me. He says, I said, if you're sick, they said, yes. There's two reasons you shouldn't go to church. If you're dead, don't come back. He says, and if you're dying, you can stay home or something, not be in the hospital. Other than that, you come to God's house every service. And I found that pretty much works to keep you safe. Can you say hallelujah? Amen. You come and you're likely to make it. Amen. Rest stand as we respect the reading of the word of the Lord in Mark chapter 2 and verse number 3. This is one of the first miracles that Mark mentions, gives some detail on it. And one of the details that Mark gives of this healing of this lame man was that he was born of four. And they came unto him, Jesus, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. It took four people to get this man to Jesus. Teamwork. Often you need somebody to help you pray. Often you need somebody to help you get through the victory. Amen. And this man needed people to help him get closer to Jesus. He had to look at people and say to them, will you help me get closer to Jesus? Can you say those words with me? Will you help me get closer to Jesus? One more time. Will you help me get closer to Jesus? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this church. Thank you for the pastor and his wife, Lord, his children, all the staff that's here, God. And every person that may be even visiting tonight, Jesus, for the very first time, I pray for them, Lord, and all in between. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Turn to somebody and say, will you help me get closer to Jesus? Amen. Boy, there's some... Some of us saw some expressions on faces there. Amen. But will you help me get closer to Jesus? Amen. You may be seated. Can you imagine this man? He at least knew where Jesus was. Amen. Some people, I'll say my family didn't even know where Jesus was. We knew nothing about God. And I remember Mom one day she just sent us off to a vacation Bible school by the Salvation Army. It was for 2 weeks, and Mom was just glad to get rid of us, you know. Two boys and four girls driving her half crazy. And she says, pray, please take them all the time you want to. Amen. But after, towards the end of the second week, Mama looked at me and she said, son, did they give you a Bible verse to memorize? I said, Mama, they gave me something they said was in the Bible. And I reached in my little pocket. I said, but it can't be in the Bible. Now, I'd never read the Bible, but I knew that couldn't be in there. And so she said, what is it? And I opened it up and it said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And I said, Mom, that can't be in the Bible because I know the Bible is supposed to make sense. And nobody I ever heard of fishing for men. Amen. And Mama looked at me. She said, someday you'll understand it, son. And I will tell you, that day has come. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody came to my town when we had no apostolic church in town. They came and they talked to me and they knocked on my door and they knocked on the door and said, we're starting a church. Will you come to church? Will your children come to Sunday school? Mom said, sure, come and get my kids. And the pastor came and we got to his church and he had just two or three people. That's all he had. He was starting from nothing. There was no apostolic church in that town nor in that county. And he kept on coming to get us and kept on leaving us off. And at 10 o'clock in the morning, he started a Sunday school. And we taught the adult Sunday school. I mean, after adult Sunday school, he preached the Sunday morning sermon. And everybody came to the altar. He prayed with them at the altar. And when it was time to take us home, he took us home. And that was in June of 1965 he came. But he continued faithfully, even though in June of 1966, nobody was saved yet. He was doing the right thing. So he kept on doing the right thing. Hallelujah. And in June of 1967 came, and that was 24 months of his life in that city. He was the Conqueror's president of the Ohio district before he went to the city where I lived in. Amen. He had a lot of opportunities, but he came to nobody in the church. Amen. June of 67 came, and there was still nobody that he could point to that got saved. Amen. You know, sometimes you're doing the right thing. The devil's going to try to get you to quit doing the right thing. You keep on praying for those people that you know, that you love, and maybe your children that are backslidden and outside of the church. You keep on praying for them. Hallelujah. God's going to hear your prayers. God is going to hear your prayers. Amen. Finally, in August of 1967, after he'd been there some 27 months, God reached down. Amen. And he filled the first one with the Holy Ghost. And that's me. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Amen. These days they preach a sermon. If you're doing what you're doing, if you keep on doing what you're doing, you're going to get what you got. But I want to tell you, my pastor kept on doing what he was doing. He was faithful to God. He was praying. He was seeking for souls. And finally, God gave him a harvest. Amen. That church has grown now. Other churches have been spawned from it. And ministries have went out. I thank God for somebody that helped me get closer to Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I didn't know which direction to go, but he helped me find the way. Maybe you can be that way for somebody as well. Amen. Amen. So this man had to ask people, will you help me get closer to Jesus? When you ask people to do something, they always feel like it's an imposition. They always got something to do. Even ask your husband sometimes, see what happens. Amen. See how fast that gets done. Amen. Will you help me get closer to Jesus? Amen. And so he got one person. Then he got two people. These people might not even know each other. They might not even liked each other. He got three people. And then I know he got three because the Bible says he's looking for a fourth one. And when I was studying this the other day, the Lord spoke to me and he said, one man short of a miracle. He needed four men to get him to Jesus. And one man would make the difference of a miracle that day. And I thought to myself, how many times in God's house can there be that one person that can make the difference of a miracle in somebody's life? Oh, a church that works together can see revival. A church that works together can see miracles. Hallelujah. Amen. We're pulling in the same direction, brethren. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes life can be boring in a little city, you know. I don't know if you know that or not, but I was in the islands when I first went down there. I was listening to the news one day. I thought, boy, I'm going to listen to the news, you know. Don't want to miss the news on the radio. And so I'm listening. The lady comes on to give the news. And they said, well, we want to tell you today on the island is quite quiet. Matter of fact, nothing's happening. So that's the news for today. These guys are probably sitting around in their little corner and nothing was happening. But when they got involved and they began to do something, they got the blessing out of it. Hallelujah. It wasn't an imposition. It was an invitation for a miracle in their lives. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. And our little boys and children in church from the island of Dominica came to visit with their mother. And I invited them to go to McDonald's with me after church. Now, McDonald's down there is not too cheap. But thank God in Martinique we have McDonald's. Amen. But in Dominica they didn't have. And so we went and I brought, and there's a thing at McDonald's called Happy Meal. Now, that is a good name for a meal. Amen. I mean, I all meals I eat seem to be happy, but that's nice to have a happy meal. And this little boy, he opened the box of his Happy Meal, and he's about 6 or 7, and he reaches inside. Not only chicken is in there, but other things in there. And he pulls out, there's a toy in there. I think they all got toys, but he got one. And he opened it up. His eyes get big, and he says, "This is the luckiest day of my life." That cost me $10 for a Happy Meal. Amen. But I got more than a $10 blessing from it. Hallelujah. I got a testimony. I got a good feeling. Hallelujah. And so these men that were sitting around that finally put their hands to the bed to carry that man, they got more than they put into it. They got a testimony. They got something they could talk about. They got something they could tell their grandchildren about. One day this man was crippled, and now he walks, and I had a part in it. Amen. I want to tell you, church, you should get involved in church. You should get involved in what God's doing. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Now, you know, when we start the churches, like I'm going to tell you about Grenada. We had about 5 people. We gathered together and we'd get them baptized. And I told them, don't go back to that other church. God called you out of untruth. He called you to the truth. Don't go back there. We don't got no pastor. I said, I know, but you gather yourselves together. And Sister Edwards in the living room. And you pray and you sing and you read the Bible on Mondays and on Wednesdays and Sundays. And in 5 or 6 months, I'll get a chance. I'll come back and see you. Now, some people think that can't. You know, if you decide to live for God, you can live for God. Even if you're in Afghanistan, even if you're in Iraq, or no matter where you be, you decide to live for God. Hallelujah. And so I came back after a while. I don't know if it was the next trip or the trip after. And they said to me, oh, Pastor, good news. Good news. I like good news. We have 5 or 6 people to baptize, Pastor. I said, oh, that's great. I'm so happy. And so Sunday morning, we're coming down, and we're going to baptize them. And sun beating hot. I said, where are we going to baptize them? We're up on a mountain. He said, oh, down here in the river. I said, where's that? Oh, it's just down there. That's okay. And we're happy. You know, we're going down the hill. They're beating the tambourine. I'm in born again. Thank God I'm born again. And all those old-fashioned gospel songs. And missionaries happy. The church are happy. Even the villagers are getting happy to see us go. And finally, after about a half a mile, I wasn't singing no more. Amen. I was just glad to be walking. Amen. Another half mile or so, I think, man, this river is a long way down here. Amen. Huffing and puffing, and I don't know how far it was, but I think it must have been at least 3 miles. And you know, when you walk 3 miles down the hill, down the mountainside, no car could go down that road. I mean, expect to go back up, not even a four-four. I mean, what do you call that in English? I mean, all-wheel drive, I mean, or a Jeep, whatever it is. I mean, not even they could do that. But you get down there, you're going to take your time baptizing them. You're going to sing some nice songs. You're going to let the river water moist your legs. Amen. You're going to give an altar call. Ask anybody else they want to be baptized. Because you know when it's all over, you're going to have to go back up that mountain. Amen. It might have only been 3 miles down, but it seemed like 5 or 6 back to the top of that. I tell you what, I got up there and started going up, and I felt kind of angry at those children running up that hill like that. They're going up like deer, you know. And old Brother Richie going up like a turtle. Sweating all places. Sweating in places didn't even know I had places. Amen. Finally, after a considerable time, I got to the top of the mountain, and they said, "Oh, Pastor, good news. Somebody else wants to be baptized." I said, they need to repent some more, I think. They need to pray more. I mean, at the altar or something. And I said, "Why didn't they come down when we were going down the first time?" I mean, and then he kind of calmed down. He said, "Oh, Pastor, come and see the man. So I walked over to his house with some of the members, about 300 yards to his house. I got there, and here was a man living in a little wood house, maybe not even as big as this part of your platform. And I step up into his little house, and I see he's an elderly gentleman, and he says these words to me, "Oh, Pastor, me needs to be baptized in Jesus' name, Pastor. Me needs to be saved, Pastor." And I'm listening to him, and I see he's crippled. He can't walk. Amen. And I'm beginning, you know how you feel sometimes like a grapefruit coming in your throat? Amen. Feel that grapefruit coming up, and then I look at him. He tells me, "You got to be baptized in Jesus' name to be saved." That's true. If you want to be saved, you must repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the pardon, forgiveness of those sins, and receive the Holy Ghost, and then live for God every day. Amen. Amen. And so I looked at him. I said, "Brother man, we're going to baptize you in Jesus' name today." He said, "Pastor, how you baptize me? Me can't walk the hill." I thought, "Me can't walk the hill either." Amen. So I stepped out of the car, stepped out of the room, into the yard, and I says, "Help, who will help us carry brother man to be baptized?" They didn't know where we were going to baptize him, but they were willing. Amen. So about five guys gathered brother man in his arms and in their arms, and they walked him to the car about 300 yards. When we got to the car, they put him in the car, and I said, "Come with us." And they got in the car, and we went this way, we went that way. Finally, we found a place near the river, and a river was close to the car, about 50 yards from the car, and they carried him in, and they carried him into the water. And there, maybe 4:30 that Sunday afternoon, I baptized Brother Man in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Imposition or invitation? It was an invitation to a miracle. I mean, a little bit later, I came back, and I don't know if it was the next time I came back to the islands, island of Grenada, or the time after. I can't remember the five that we baptized at the bottom of the hill that day, but I cannot forget Brother Man. I said, "Where's Brother Man?" And brother, you know, there they'll gather. If you can't go to church, they get in your house, and they pray you through the Holy Ghost in your house. And that's what they did for Brother Man. And I said, "Where is that?" He said, "Oh, Brother Richie, he went on. He went on to be with the Lord. Thank God I didn't say I was too tired. Thank God I didn't say no to a man that needed something from God." Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah, hallelujah? In a way, it was like that little boy. "This is the best day of my life." Amen. To see somebody baptized in Jesus' name and make their way into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? I want to tell you, church, tonight you have an invitation. An invitation by your pastor for this month of trying to get people that have left the church to come on back. Amen. You got an invitation. And you got an invitation tonight. Amen. For this altar. There is a possibility tonight. If you need to get closer to Jesus, you can get closer to him tonight. Most problems disappear when you get close enough to Jesus. Hallelujah. And people are healed. Amen. People get the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you get close enough to Jesus. Amen. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Let's stand. Hallelujah. 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 Brethren, I want to tell you something. I've had cancer twice. If I'm here tonight, God is a good God. Amen. Amen. And many things have happened. Amen. God's done some wonderful miracles. We've seen blind eyes healed. Seen people get out of wheelchairs that were condemned for their life in wheelchairs. And we've seen God do so many wonderful things. But it often takes somebody that helps the other person get closer to Jesus. Maybe tonight you feel in your heart that you'd like to get closer to Jesus. You can. Maybe you'd like to turn to somebody and say, will you help me get closer to Jesus? It's possible. I'd like to open this altar up for prayer for everybody and anybody that would like to come tonight. If you have nothing else to pray about Brother Richie. Pray for Sister Richie. Amen. If you got somebody, your family members that are backslidden, pray for them tonight at the altar. If you're sick tonight and you need the Holy Ghost, this is a good place for you to be. Hallelujah. God is in this place. Hallelujah. God is in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's raise our hands and praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Let's reach Him out. Let's reach out to Jesus tonight. Let's reach out to Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus is in this place. This is the house of God. This is the place where God answers prayers. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.